10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program that examines these end times through the lens of biblical truth. I'm Nathan Liao. And the website is watchmanscry.com. And today we are going to be going in a different direction on this program. Now, to start off, I just want to say that the reason that I am up on the wall, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I do this is because I have been called of God to do it. I don't do it because it's an occupation or because I couldn't find something else to do. This is a calling. And this calling comes with a great responsibility. And the responsibility is to fulfill my calling with integrity and with honesty. The Bible says that teachers will incur a more stricter judgment. So to be up on the wall, to fail at this task as a watchman and as a minister of God and as a messenger of God, a servant of God, to fail at this task means that I will incur a stricter judgment from God. He will have me on the carpet, and when the day comes that I stand before him, I'll have to answer for it. And this doesn't just go for me. This goes for anyone that calls themselves a watchman and to anyone who considers themselves a spiritual leader or a teacher or a radio show host that's Christian-based. Anyone that gets behind their microphone or has a website or a blog talk show or is in the public eye, anyone that's a public figure, anyone that is part of the alternative media from the Christian point of view is going to answer to God. They're going to answer to God just like I am. We do not get a free pass. Now, over the last few days, you probably already know. If you don't, this program is going to explain it all. But I have had to do something that was a hard decision. It was difficult, but I had to do it. And that was resign from the Hear the Watchman's Conference. And I want to talk about it. And I want the body of Christ, the regular listeners, those of you that are out there to know and understand why I came to this decision. Now, ladies and gentlemen, having to resign from the Hear the Watchman conference has not been easy. I want to try my best to explain why I had to do it, but I am met with great difficulty in explaining it because I understand that there are certain basic protocols when dealing with situations and conflict within the body of Christ. There is protocol. And having to use the rules of engagement that exceed silence and tolerance and looking the other way, when one engages in admonition within the body of Christ, it is not easy. And having to admonish or bring a word of correction or stand up for something is never easy because most of the time the person doing it is in the minority. Most of the time they're alone. Most of the time they are having to face a majority who are against them. Most of the time they're not going to be agreed with. And that's what's going on here in this situation. So it's not easy to do this because the situation has several factors. One of them is the Hear the Watchman Conference, which is made up of speakers, organizers, participants, and attendees. So there are different groups in this situation. So in order for me to resign, then the attendees will want to know why. And the attendees are most likely those of you listening. So you want to know why. And then there's the speakers who, of course, are not going to agree, and that's what's happening right now. I am the castaway. It has turned into me being the bad guy in their eyes. But ladies and gentlemen, above everything is Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is our shepherd. And Jesus makes it very clear that if we want to follow him and be a part of his end-time remnant, then we have to meet certain guidelines. And that is that we walk in obedience to him, that we walk in the truth, and that we walk in the light of His Word, that we are obedient to His Word, that we walk in truth. There are several things, but it has to do with walking in righteousness and walking in repentance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this long enough to prove to many of you that this ministry survives only by the grace of God, and it survives only because God allows me the privilege to share things with the body of Christ. I do not like deception, folks, because deception is going to be one of the main forces in the end time that's going to destroy the saints of God, that's going to overcome the saints, that's going to cause the elect to stumble. Deception is going to creep in through sources that were unexpected. Deception is going to creep in through the side door, through the back door, through the window. It's going to sneak in through the basement, through the crack in the floor, because that's what deception is. Deception tricks. It blinds. It makes a person think that a lie is the truth. Deception is going to be running rampant in these last days. So I questioned something that I heard, and I contacted leaders, and I was dismissed. I contacted the person who made the wrong statements, and I was dismissed. I emailed other people who had radio shows, and I was not answered. I was ignored. I left messages on answering machines. The calls were not returned. I find myself in a very unique place right now, because instead of the wrong doctrine being addressed and corrected, instead of that, this is what's happening, folks. I am being tarred and feathered. I have emails being sent to me by my colleagues who are telling me that I am messing up. I'm being divisive. I'm being hateful. I'm being judgmental. I am doing this wrong. But, folks, I have to answer to God. And I have to answer to God for the condition of the souls that listen to the programs that I put out, the sermons that I put out. I have a responsibility. That is the higher calling. I want to read a verse from Galatians that pretty much summarizes my situation. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Well, let me back up to verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the situation that I am facing right now. There have been things stated on a program that I wanted to address, and one of the speakers who was going to be at the Hear the Watchman conference said those things. I heard them on a program, and I tried to contact a certain amount of people that were going to be at the conference, and I was ignored. So that's why I'm doing this. By the way, the clips that I am sharing through fair use. That's for the record. I am doing this with fair use, and I'm making commentary on a program. Now, when I heard Dr. Ted say things that sounded like the New Age, they sounded like they were promoting the New Age, my ears perked up when I heard them. They perked up because the conversation was not stopped, it was not hindered, and Ted just went right on talking about it. And one of the first parts that I heard when I logged in to the program, he was talking about chakras. I'm going to play, ladies and gentlemen, a few clips of the things that he stated. And I'm going to make commentary, and I'm going to do something that is very unconventional on this program. I do not like to have to do this. I do not. I did not want to have to do this, but I don't appreciate when falsehoods are stated about what I'm doing here in this ministry. I do not appreciate people lying about this ministry. And I don't appreciate people lying about my attempt to stop false doctrine. I don't appreciate it. I don't, folks. It's wrong. If I lie, if I was a liar, and every now and then I would throw lies into the programs, then how could you know which program to listen to? How could you trust anything that I said? How could you, folks? To be behind a microphone comes with great responsibility, and it comes also with the understanding that you have to have integrity. And when you listen to someone behind a microphone, for the most part, you hope that they have integrity and they're telling you the truth, because who wants to listen to lies? Well, this thing has been exploding. the crack in the floor has been getting bigger. And folks, all I did was point out something. All I did was point out that some things are being stated that are wrong. But I would rather do that than stand before God and say, oh, well, God, you know, well, what was I supposed to do, God? You know, I was outnumbered. Folks, there's no choice in this. So I'm going to play a few clips of what Ted said. Now, I didn't want to have to do this. I was going to let it go by just saying, I'm not going to the conference. If you want to know why, listen to the Hagman & Hagman program, and you'll know why. And I had the link on my website to the December 18th program. The link is there, or you can go to YouTube. December 18th, first hour, he says it all. And when I tried to confront him, and I called him up, he hung up on me. It was a very short call. He said, first of all, where did you get this number? I don't appreciate you calling me during dinner time. And I said, well, I just have a concern. And he said, I don't appreciate it. I don't have to apologize for using the word. And then he asked me, do you have a degree in biochemistry? And then he said, I'm not going to apologize. He actually said those words. Before he hung up, when he said, do you have a degree in biochemistry? I said, no, but do you have a degree in theology? I countered. And he said, I'm not going to explain this to you or apologize. And then he hung up. So I tried, ladies and gentlemen, to tell Dr. Ted that the words he was sharing were wrong. But then this is what happened. And this is why I have to take this public. I know I'm going to be hated for this in some circles. I know people are going to be mad at me in some circles. Nathan, we don't do this to one another. Well, you know what, folks? We're not supposed to lie in public. We are not supposed to lie. And I'm going to let the jury of the body of Christ decide for themselves. I'm going to play for you what he said on that program that bothered me so much. Now, when he was talking, he brought up the word chakra, which is a New Age Hindu term. He also talked about the third eye being related to the pineal gland, and he related the third eye as the conduit to communicate with God. He said it on the program, and you're going to hear him say that. He talked about God dwelling in the 13th dimension. He said that many times. He said that the plants and the trees of the earth are green, and they are all united, and the heart chakra of a human is green, also green like the plants, so it can also be united with the universe. He made the connection that chakras and the color green were united to a consciousness. They were united to a consciousness whereby we can then meet and touch God in the 13th dimension. He laid it out and he said it, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to play that for you. I'm also going to do this though, because since that happened, he was told that he needed to recant that. He was told by the leaders of the conference that he needed to fix that. So he made a public apology on his program, and then he also did it on Dave Hodges' program a few days ago. He apologized, and then he turned it around. Well, I'll just let you decide, ladies and gentlemen, because I want you to see the evidence. They think that I'm somehow making all this up, I'm blowing it out of proportion, and I'm being divisive. And this is hurting the body of Christ because I'm pointing this out. This, by the way, wrong. I'm pointing out New Age things that are wrong, and I'm not being listened to. So I'm taking it to the church. That's what I'm doing, folks. And I hope that we can fix this, but the event promoters are not listening to me. Mike and Jeannie are not listening to me about this. So I'm taking it to the body of Christ. So ladies and gentlemen, let me just play you what he said, and then I'm going to make a comment.
But okay, but let me share with you guys real quick. You know, we're beings of light, of frequency. I remember back in the 80s, when I was getting my naturopathic training, I remember there was a doctor, his name was Dr. Kerry Reams, very, very, very controversial figure 30 years ago, and they kept locking him up because he kept saving people's lives. It was kind of sad. And what was interesting about him, he told us in several of his books how frequency and how we're made and how we're just a vibration. And everybody has their own very specific vibration cord in which everybody's completely different as we're numbered completely different by our DNA and that we're all unique in God's eyes. And now we're beginning to understand that we're beings of frequency of light and we have been just condensed light to form a solid body in this hologram that we're in.
Okay, I'm going to stop for a second. Are you catching that, ladies and gentlemen? We are frequency. We are light. Are you catching that? If you're taking notes, just make sure you remember that. We are beings of light, we live in a hologram, and we also have frequency. Okay, let's continue.
And now we know that radio waves, the thoughts, which are scalar waves, cell phones, fluorescent bulbs, music, different colors, all affect the hologram that we're in. So what I want to talk about tonight is the frequency of color of the magnetic spectrum. You know, because the 528 hertz frequency is the color green. It's the only frequency that's both the color and a sound. It's the center of the rainbow. The world basically is green, although if you look over the planets for the deserts and areas and the oceans, with plants and the birds and bees, are literally all in junction and in unison with the proper frequency. Your heart chakra is green, meaning that your chakra of your heart is literally connected to the center of the universe.
Okay. Your heart is literally connected to the center of the universe, and it's green, and it's a chakra. Let me play that again. Let me back up a little bit. Here we go.
In unison with the proper frequency. Your heart chakra is green, meaning that your chakra of your heart is literally connected to the center of the universe, which is where we belong, you know, tied to God through the 13th dimension.
Okay. Did you catch that, folks? Our heart chakra is green, literally tied to the center of the universe, which reaches God, who is in the 13th dimension. Now, let me ask you this, folks. At any time with what you just heard, did you hear the heart chakra, the green heart chakra, being related to the nerves of the heart in a more physical meaning? In other words, was Ted telling us that the nerve part of our body that dwell in the area where your heart is have been called chakra? Did Ted just say that? Did he relate it to our physiology, to our body? Did he, ladies and gentlemen? No, he didn't. But then he was on the Dave Hodges program. You just heard his explanation of the chakras. Now I'm going to play for you what he told the world just a few days ago. And you tell me if it's the same thing, folks. Here we go.
And, of course, talknetwork.com. This man's name is Dr. Ted Brower. And let me just say a couple of words here. Ted has been accused out there as being New Age. Now, God help any of us if we have never spoken out of turn and used a misspoken term, used it incorrectly, or maybe even had a mistake made in how we interpret something. None of us are perfect. And for one statement Ted has made, and one that I think is really pretty trivial, he has been vilified by a couple of individuals. And
okay, hold on one second. It's trivial, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Dave Hodges just said. It's trivial. It's no big deal.
And one that I think is really pretty trivial, he has been vilified by a couple of individuals. And I just want to say this before I bring Ted on. I know Ted personally. I know Ted's business habits. I know some of his personal habits from lengthy conversations with him and interviewing him many, many times. But we're also friends. We talk privately on the phone. I feel I have a good feel for who Dr. Ted Brower is. And I want to say this convincingly and very straightforwardly. He is a man of God. He serves Jesus. He's loyal to the teachings of the scripture. I went to Ted not too long ago with a little bit of a conflict that I was having going on in my life, and the first thing he did was quote Matthew to me.
Well, there you go, folks. So far, it's a pretty good presentation, right? Makes sense. Ted was misunderstood because it was trivial. Okay, let's go.
He's a man of God, and I'm telling you, anyone that says that Ted Brower is not a man of God does not know Ted Brower, and they're reacting to rumor and innuendo.
Okay, for the record, I did not say Ted is not a man of God. I did not say he's not a Christian. His relationship with God, that's not my business, and that's not my place to judge. I am talking about the presentation that he shared. That's what I have a problem with. We're not talking about a salvation or where he is with God. If he is a man of God, then he should be open to a correction, and he should be honest, and this should be taken care of pretty quickly then. Right, folks? Okay, let's keep going.
Ted, I'm sorry for that rant, but I've been pretty passionate and emotional about this because I know you, and I know what kind of person you are and what you stand for, and I just wanted to get that out there. But I wanted to bring you in and give you a chance to respond to what I said, and please feel free to say as much or as little as you'd like.
Well, thanks, Dave. No, what happened is last week I had a phone call here at the house, and a pastor had called me up, and they were concerned about the term I used. And I was talking to an energy or nerve plexus in the body, and basically I was talking about the heart nerve plexus. And I used a term which has multiple meanings that I was unaware of at that time, because I'm just a biochemist and a biologist. That's what I do. And there's a term called chakra. It's from the Middle Eastern, I guess from Indian religions, which I was really kind of unaware of. And all I was using it for, if you look it up on Wikipedia, if you look at the word meaning, it has four different meanings on it. And basically the fourth meaning is a nerve plexus within the body. That's how I use the term, speaking of the nerve plexus of the heart and the thoracic region. Actually, it's called the brachial plexus is what it's called. It serves the chest, shoulders, and arms, and the hands. It's a branch. Anyway, I'll read you right out of Wikipedia. Nerve plexus is a plexus branching network of intersecting nerves. A nerve plexus is composed of efferent and efferent fibers that arise from the merging of the anterior rami of the spinal nerves and blood vessels. There are five spinal nerve plexuses, and plus we have the one that goes to the heart. I mentioned that, and I should have used the term nerve plexus, but the definition of a chakra, a heart chakra, and a nerve plexus for the heart.
Okay, let me stop for a second, folks. Are you buying this? Do you hear this? He said it was in the context of the nerve plexus of the heart. He said it was about the nerve plexus. You heard his explanation on Dave Hodges. Let me play this again, what he said, okay, in case there's confusion. He said it was about nerve plexus, and he didn't mean for it to sound New Age. Listen to this.
And now we're beginning to understand that we're beings of frequency of light, and we have been just condensed light to form a solid body in this hologram that we're in. And now we know that radio waves, the thoughts, which are scalar waves, cell phones, fluorescent bulbs, music, different colors, all affect the hologram that we're in. So what I want to talk about tonight is the frequency of color of the magnetic spectrum.
Okay, I want to talk about the frequency of color and the magnetic spectrum. Did you hear him say the nerve plexus, ladies and gentlemen? I didn't. So something's, am I the liar here, folks? Let me finish. I'll let him finish talking.
Of the magnetic spectrum. You know, because the 528 hertz frequency is the color green. It's the only frequency that's both the color and a sound. It's the center of the rainbow. The world basically is green, although if you look over the planets, for the deserts and areas and the oceans, with plants and the birds and bees, are literally all in junction and in unison with the proper frequency. Your heart chakra is green, meaning that your chakra of your heart is literally connected to the center of the universe.
Okay, your heart chakra is green, literally connected to the center of the universe. Folks, I am not making this up. Doug, if you're listening to this, please hear this. And then when Ted apologizes or explains it, it's not the same thing.
Your heart chakra is green, meaning that your chakra of your heart is literally connected to the center of the universe, which is where we belong, you know, tied to God through the 13th dimension.
Okay, did you catch that, folks? So let's go back to what he's saying on Dave Hodges, his explanation.
What I said, and please feel free to say as much or as little as you'd like.
Well, thanks, Dave. You know what happened is last week I had a phone call here at the house, and a pastor had called me up, and they were concerned about the term I used. And I was talking to an energy or nerve plexus in the body, and basically I was talking about the heart nerve plexus. And when I used a term which has multiple meanings that I was unaware of at that time, because I'm just a biochemist and a biologist, that's what I do, and there's a term called chakra. It's from the Middle Eastern, I guess from Indian religions, which I was really kind of unaware of.
Okay, that's not true, ladies and gentlemen, because later on in the program, he admits that he did a lot of research and he goes through New Age websites. I'll play it for you.
And see, the thing that people don't understand is that when I do a show like this, is that I've got to do so much research. It's some of the fringe stuff that I've got to listen to, and I got to try to cipher through to try to get this information from a Christian standpoint. It takes a lot of time.
Okay, hold on a second. He has to filter through and go to a lot of other sources. So in other words, you're about to hear him say that he goes into the dark ether of satanic teachings, and then he turns it into Christianity. Watch this.
Because that's why so many of these notes like I have right now, I've rewritten all of this stuff from other different types of sources that weren't necessarily from a Christian standpoint. Because the science is there, but they don't understand the Christian part of it. The scientists don't. So they can't link it back together. Does that make sense?
It makes sense that you're taking stuff that should not be a part of our Christianity. Should not unbiblical, New Age, garbage, Hinduism, Eastern mysticism should not be Christianized and brought over because the science makes sense. Now, if the science that you're talking about is frequency and we're made out of sound and God's in the 13th, I'm sorry, that is not science. It's not. Folks, I'm making my commentary fired up. I know I am, but I got to do this. Here we go.
Yeah, because they're trying to link it all to this New Age stuff, and the reality is they got to link it back to God and to Jesus Christ. And so they'll say all of this stuff, and it'll be. And I'm like, well, you guys are missing it. This is, you know, you got the principles behind this.
This is messed up.
But the definition of a chakra, a heart chakra, and a nerve plexus for the heart, is synonymous. They mean the same thing, except for there are different meanings for the word chakra that I was unaware of, because I don't teach or practice or even study New Age doctrine. Apparently this person was very well versed in the New Age, and they quickly accused me of using New Age stuff on the phone when they called me. I told them that I was not, that if I did, it was inadvertent, that I wasn't aware.
Okay, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, when I called him on the phone, I told him I was concerned that he was using New Age terms. I told him, you use the term chakra, you use the term third eye, and then he started yelling at me, and he said, I'm not going to explain it, I don't have to explain it, and I don't have to apologize. And why are you calling me during dinner? He got mad at me, and then that's when he asked me if I had a degree, and then he hung up on me. So those are the only things that were stated. He said, I'm not going to apologize, he didn't want to listen, and then he hung up. But he's about to say something here that's not true.
Where the full definitions, and I would be more than happy to change it on the next time I did a show and I issued a clarification. And I immediately issued a clarification statement, and I told everybody, you know, I apologize, and I read the whole statement, it's not necessary, that I'll be more careful next time, because I usually vet words and phrases to make sure I don't do that. Because being a biologist and a chemist, you know, when I talk about nerve plexuses, you know, I heard it intertwined multiple times at Florida State University as being the heart chakra when I was in graduate school there. And so that's what I was referring to. I never had any New Age connotation to it whatsoever.
Okay, folks, you heard him have New Age connotation. We heard it. The heart chakra is green. It vibrates. It has a frequency, and it's united with the universe where God dwells in the 13th dimension. That is New Age, and he said it, and now he's denying it. So who's the bad guy here, ladies and gentlemen? Because that's what I'm being accused of. I'm being accused of stirring it up and making things up, and trivial is what Dave Hodges said. This is a trivial matter, trivial word, but now it's being spun. So everyone that went to the Dave Hodges program and heard this probably thought, wow, oh, then what's Nathan's problem? But I'm explaining to you, and you heard the original, and then you're hearing his explanation. I'll go on.
Born again and saved in 1979, and for this individual to come out and basically eviscerate me, but not by name, I'll give him credit for that, on his website, and say this kind of nonsense, it's sad, because I didn't deserve that. I haven't done anything to deserve it. And when I get called on the phone and get fussed at dinner time, and I'm not even given a chance to try to explain myself, it's kind of a funny situation to be in, especially with somebody who claims to be a Christian themselves.
Okay, now my Christianity's in question, ladies and gentlemen.
So I just want to tell everybody, you know, when I go to the seminar in Dallas, I'm not planning on talking about anything that's going to be esoteric. I'm going to be talking about health, nutrition, how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, joint health, how to increase your energy levels, how to burn body fat. I've got 2 hours. I don't have enough time to go into all of these detailed analogies of stuff that I use and we've talked about so many times with Doug and with Dave. And so I don't have time to do all of that right now. But the reality is that, you know, we're going to have to realize that what's going to happen is, you know, we have to, as Christians, walk in love and learn.
Okay, so now it got turned around, ladies and gentlemen. It got turned around that my concern that the sheep of God are being bamboozled with New Age doctrine slipping in under the radar. And Nathan pointed it out. And now this is going to turn into it's just hate. Christian persecution, hateful speech from Nathan. This is what it turns into right here.
Walk in love, and if we don't do that, what we end up doing is having a situation which we cause division and bitterness. And I know with you, Dave, when you've had people attack you, you know, I've come to your aid very quickly, and thank you for doing so for me. But no, I am not a New Ager. I've been accused of being a lot of things, but never that. This is the first time I'm 60 years old I'm being accused of being a New Ager, because I used the term correctly, I may add. I used it correctly with one of the definitions.
Do you see how this got spun around, ladies and gentlemen? So the reason that I'm taking it to this level is because it's being denied and it's being turned around now.
She wrote to me, how dare you support Ted Brower, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what, even if he was expressing a New Age belief and he recants, shouldn't you try to follow the teachings of Jesus and not remember the sin once it's been passed over? Instead of looking in the rearview mirror, look ahead. But, Ted, you didn't even express the view of New Age. That's the thing that got me.
Then he also mentioned to me that I use the term the all-seeing eye, which basically has been around in Egyptian pyramids for thousands and thousands of years.
And on our money. You know, and it's on our money, for heaven's sakes. I mean, gosh, I mean, so now we can't mention that there's an all-seeing eye on the back of the dollar bill on the top of the pyramid? I mean, are you joking me? See, the problem is, David, you know, I'm kind of a...
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is another example. He just turned it around. He brought up the... Let me just say it. He lied. Let me play that again, because I'm going to play for you what he said on the Hagman Show about the third eye. Listen to his explanation, his spin right here.
No. Then he also mentioned to me that I use the term the all-seeing eye, which basically has been around in Egyptian pyramids for thousands and thousands of years.
And on our money.
You know, and it's on our money, for heaven's sakes. I mean, gosh, I mean, so now we can't mention that there's an all-seeing eye on the back of the dollar bill on the top of the pyramid? I mean, are you joking me? See, the problem is, David, you know, I'm kind of...
Okay. Did you hear it, folks? No, I'm not joking you, Ted, but you have a selective memory there for some reason. I don't know why, but you do. Let me go back to the Hagman Show, and let's hear what he said about the third eye, if it was just the all-seeing eye on the dollar bill. Listen to this, folks.
And we've been basically taught not to listen to him. And this orchestra leader, God Almighty, we've been intentionally cut off from him. This is, and the way they've done this, Doug and Joe, and I've talked about this before, and I want to continue to do this, but I'm not going to keep repeating it. I've said this before, is that through the pineal gland, we interface with the 13th dimension, but they've intentionally calcified the pineal gland, which is our third eye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about the pineal gland, and he said that it's been decalcified, and it's the third eye, which is how we contact God, the third eye. Did you hear that?
But they've intentionally calcified the pineal gland, which is our third eye, which they've done that with the use of fluoride on purpose to calcify it so it doesn't work. So we become more and more difficult to get into perfect resonance with God.
Okay. If the third eye has been calcified, then you will not be able to reach perfect resonance, another sound, harmonic frequency term, with God. If your third eye has been decalcified. Did you hear it, ladies and gentlemen? He's talking about using the third eye to reach God, which is the same thing the New Age does. So when Ted was talking about, because you heard him, folks, he said the pineal gland, he's relating parts of the body to doorways to become conduits to reach God. And that's what the New Age does. They believe the pineal gland is the conduit to reach God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, to reach God, we use our spirit. We use repentance. And if you'll notice, Ted stated, and see, here's where the false doctrines creeps in. Does it very subtly. He said that they, whoever they are, have intentionally calcified the pineal gland on people so that you can't reach God. Did you catch that, folks? So that means if you're having a problem praying through, then it's not a spiritual problem. It's not because of sin. It's not because you need to repent. It's because your pineal gland. See, folks, that's bypassing repentance. That is a false gospel. The gospel of Jesus is the gospel of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's New Age, ladies and gentlemen. And Ted said it. This is poison. Let me play it again. Listen to this.
This is, and the way they've done this, Doug and Joe, and I've talked about this before, and I want to continue to do this, but I'm not going to keep repeating it. I've said this before, is that through the pineal gland, we interface with the 13th dimension, but they've intentionally calcified the pineal gland, which is our third eye, which...
13th dimension and third eye. Remember the 13th dimension, folks. The third eye, that one's easy. Okay, here we go.
They've done that with the use of fluoride on purpose to calcify it so it doesn't work. So we become more...
Okay, so are we talking about the eye on the back of the dollar bill right here, ladies and gentlemen? Was my problem, my beef with Ted, because he mentioned something about a dollar bill? Are you hearing him talk about a dollar bill? He's talking about the third eye and a false gospel. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to, again, address how the spin is taking place here, where they are talking to each other and discussing that I brought up the dollar bill eye, the all-seeing eye.
New mirror, look ahead. But, Ted, you didn't even express the view of New Age. That's the thing that then he also mentioned to me that I use the term the all-seeing eye, which basically has been around in Egyptian pyramids for thousands and thousands of years.
And on our money.
You know, and it's on our money, for heaven's sakes. I mean, gosh, I mean, so now we can't mention that there's an all-seeing eye on the back of the dollar bill on the top of the pyramid? I mean, are you joking me? See, the problem is, David...
Okay. Do you hear his complaint there, ladies and gentlemen? He made it sound like my problem was him talking about the dollar bill eye. Now, I want you to listen to this. Folks, listen to this, and you decide, ladies and gentlemen, if this is what I was bringing up. Was I bringing up being bothered about the all-seeing eye, or was it something else? Listen to this, because what you're about to hear is why I had a problem with it. Listen to this.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Doug. And also, the pine cone has been used for centuries, even by the Roman Catholic Church. They have a huge pine cone there at the Vatican. I've stood right beside it before.
Okay, listen to that. Here it comes.
And it symbolizes the pineal gland. That's what it's there for. And so it's the third eye. It's the spiritual eye. It gives us the insight into the multidimensional universe. See, the problem with this is it's like playing chess on a 3D board.
Did you hear that about the third eye, ladies and gentlemen?
And so it's the third eye. It's the spiritual eye. It gives us the insight into the multidimensional universe. See,
the third eye gives us insight into the multidimensional universe. I didn't say it. He said it. And I wasn't talking about the all-seeing eye. He is endorsing the pineal gland being the third eye because he said the pineal gland is calcified. Now, when I called him and he yelled at me, the call didn't last very long. It was very short because he didn't want to talk to me. He was upset with me. So Ted said on the Hodges program, and he made something up. He didn't explain what happened, folks, because you just heard it. And then on his own program 2 days ago, he also made a public apology because of the fallout, because many of you are concerned that he's New Ager, so they're trying to do backpedal work right now. So he went and did his apology like he was instructed to, and here's what he said on his own show. Here it is.
It's one of those things. I've got to address something real quick, Oz, that I had to deal with before Christmas. And I got a phone call from a concerned listener from the Hagman Show, the last one that I had done, when we were talking about the different frequencies and energy about the body and all that. And I had used a term that he was a little bit concerned about on that show. And I wanted to clarify that because, yes, it's turned into that big of a deal. So, yes, I'm going to address it. And, yes, I've heard it from several different people now, so I'm going to go ahead and take care of this right now. What was interesting is this guy is a pastor, and he basically felt concerned that I'd used the word chakra. Now, chakra has multiple definitions. There's like four major definitions of chakra. If you look at the etymology on Wikipedia, which you can look it up yourself, it's spelled chakra, C-H-A-K-R-A. The fourth definition, which I use correctly on the show with Hagman, is different nerve plexuses within the body. I use it in that term, in that definition. There are some New Age connotations to it, but all of you guys know that I'm not a New Ager. I believe in the...
Okay. He just said he used it in the context of nerves. And, folks, you already heard how he used it. He said that it's our heart chakra is united with the universe, and we're one with God in the 13th dimension. So he did not use it in a medical sense. So this is not true. But this is his apology 2 days ago. Now, I'll continue.
I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the... believe that we're all blood bought, and I believe that we basically are saved by grace through faith through our Lord Jesus, and I have nothing to do with New Age philosophy. I'm not familiar with it.
Actually, he has been staying enough that it's kind of showing that he knows what he's talking about with 13 dimensions and resonance and touching God, and so he said he's not familiar with it. You be the judge, ladies and gentlemen.
So when I use this term, I was using it as a nerve plexus within the body, which is definition number 4 on the definitions on Wikipedia. If you look up nerve plexuses in the body, here's the definition, because I was talking about the heart chakra, the energy field around the heart. A nerve plexus is a plexus branching network of intersecting nerves. A nerve plexus is composed of efferent and efferent fibers that arise from the emerging of the anterior foramen of spinal nerves and blood vessels. There are 5 spinal nerve plexuses, except in the thoracic region, as well as other forms of autonomic plexuses, many of which are the part of the enteric central nervous system. The nerves that arise from the plexuses have both sensory and motor functions. These functions include muscle contraction, the maintenance of the body coordination and control, and reaction to sensations such as heat, cold, pain, and pressure. There are several plexuses in the body. So this is what I was talking about, the brachial plexus, which serves the chest, the shoulders, the arms, and the legs, when I talk about the chakra around the heart. And apparently this young fellow decided that I was talking about something else.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, is that what he was really doing, what he just said? Was he? And I decided, well, by the way, thank you, Ted. You said I'm a young fellow. Thank you. I'm 53, by the way, but thank you. But I decided that he was talking about something else. Folks, I didn't decide it. I heard what he said. And this went out to the whole world. And now he's denying it. in front of you. But I'll go on.
And I was not. So if I've offended anybody by the use of that term, I ask you to please forgive me. It was simply unintentional. I was using the correct definition, but there are four definitions. I was unaware of that. And so I want you guys to know that I'll do better the next time as far as when I do a Hackman show in vetting the full definitions of certain words which may have New Age connotations, which I was totally unaware of.
Okay, so he said he was unaware that it was New Age. So this is how he ends his apology. Listen to this.
And I've been like that since 1979. I've been saved for, oh gosh, what is that, 20, 30, 35, over 35 years now, 36 years. So, yes, I guess I am a Jesus freak, and I don't believe in New Age. I don't teach their doctrine. I don't want to be involved in it. So, anyhow, so that is my explanation of using the term chakra correctly. I said it right, and I still got nailed for it, Austin. So I got a kick out of that. So all the people that want to say anything else about that, just look up the definitions and pretty much get a life. That's all I can say, because I'm not going to be involved with that kind of petty display of nonsense anymore, especially when people don't want to look up their own definitions. But I got the phone call.
Okay. Did you catch that, folks? If you have concerns about his use of the name, did you hear what he said? He apologized, and then he said,
all the people that want to say anything else about that, just look up the definitions and pretty much get a life. That's all I can say, because I'm not going to be involved with that kind of petty display of nonsense anymore, especially when people don't want to look up their own definitions.
Okay. Get a life, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a problem with his use of the word chakra, get a life. What's wrong with you? I'm sorry that I used the word that sounded New Age, but if you're not going to look up your own definition, get a life. Wow, that was heartfelt, wasn't it? Folks, do you see what I have to deal with here? Do you see why this is challenging? Do you see why this is difficult? Because it appears that the love for the truth no longer exists. And instead of addressing and being honest to address that it was bad, he spun it and he said that he wasn't talking about what we all heard. I showed it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, deception is contagious. It is. It's so easy for people just to hear something and believe it. If we don't have truth, if we don't have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, we're going to fall for anything. And my whole argument in all of this, you see, I'm not mad at Ted. I'm mad at the devil. I don't like him, but I'm watching this in real time. I'm watching the fundamentals. If we could dissect the fundamentals of how deception is birthed in a person or in a situation, and then it becomes contagious so that it spreads to many people who are outside observers, and then they start believing it without knowing the truth. And deception can become a frenzied mob without having truth. Because I believe I showed the evidence that what Ted presented on the Hagmans was New Age. Oneness and the colors and gods in the 13th dimension, et cetera, et cetera. He talked about the third eye, it's the spiritual connection. And I had a problem with it because I don't want the people of God being taught that nonsense. Because it's wrong. And you heard him deny it. You heard him. He didn't own up to it, folks. And by me pointing this out, this is what deception also does. It turns the messenger into the bad guy. And it turns you, if you have a concern, and if you have the discernment of God and you appreciate truth and you don't want to be deceived by the enemy, maybe you came out of the New Age. Maybe you came out of Eastern religions. And you know how dangerous it is. You've seen it in action. You've seen demon-possessed people. You know the strongholds and how powerful they are. And God delivered you. So when you hear anyone messing with it, your discernment is awakened to say no. So if you are noticing that this is also wrong, ladies and gentlemen, now there's two sides to the camp. There are those who, okay, Ted went on the Hodges show and told him, hey, I'm getting beat up and it's not fair. So Hodges, of course, he's his friend. He's going to come to his aid. But then look what it turns into. Listen to this, folks. This is what deception does. It becomes contagious.
I know. Jim and I have been so, so busy that we haven't even got to broach this subject. So, Jim, I got to imagine your head's kind of spinning here about the attacks that Ted's undergone here, primarily centered from one person, and he's got a few minions to buy into what he was saying. But
did you hear that? The concern is coming from one person. Let me play that again. And now he's including all of you that don't like what you hear. Listen to this.
The attacks that Ted's undergone here are primarily centered from one person, and he's got a few minions to buy into what he was saying. But
okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you have discernment and you heard the New Age lingo and you're also concerned and you also find yourself not liking it, does that make you a minion? Does that make you my minion? My little yes man and yes woman who just believes anything Nathan says? Is that what it does, folks? Is that what this is turning into? You see, what I'm doing is I'm identifying what deception does. First it shows up, and then it recruits. And while it's recruiting, it never wants proof. It never wants the light of exposure placed on it, because then it can't hide. So it hides in the darkness. It hides in denial. It hides in embellished words. It hides in falsehoods and lies. And then those things turn into contagious forces where others join in, and then they look across the line. Okay, we're on this side of the line, and so those people, those others that are causing these problems, are minions now. So you see, folks, to identify evil, to call evil evil, now has turned into a bad thing where now those who believe my concerns have been reduced to minions. And that is what the devil does, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he does. Now, one could argue and say, well, Nathan, if you didn't bring this up, we wouldn't have two sides. We wouldn't have two camps. We wouldn't have people on this side and then people on that side. You divided. You made a division. You separated two groups. Shame on you, Nathan, because division is bad. And you know what, folks? Division is bad. Strife is bad. But the separation of truth from non-truth is not bad. And to expose lies and shine the light on lies is the calling of every remnant believer who wants to survive in these end times. Now, I don't understand the sound bites that I presented to you. I don't understand how the leadership has not seen and heard those words and been concerned about them, because all I am getting, the deception is working to make me the bad guy. I am the castaway. And again, I'm not mad at them. It's deception that's going on. And also, this is the other thing deception will do, ladies and gentlemen, because I think it's important for us to dissect this and examine it, because it could be useful in the future for you. What deception will do is it's contagious, but also there is the loyalty factor of deception, where, for example, some of my colleagues don't even want to consider that what Ted said was wrong because they're his friend and they feel loyal, which is good. There should be loyalty, but it's loyalty without discernment. It's loyalty without honesty. It's loyalty without using the biblical admonition of godly counsel. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is he who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly counsel. You're blessed if you don't. You'd be like a tree planted. So godly counsel is the opposite of ungodly counsel, meaning you're my friend, so I'm not going to say anything. But to be a friend to someone when you know that they're doing wrong and staying silent, folks, makes us guilty by omission. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Iron sharpens iron. It is our duty to restore others that are walking astray, that have error. Now, some might argue and say, well, Nathan, Ted came clean. He said he's not New Age and he won't say any of that at the conference. Yeah, we heard his apology. We heard his method of explaining. And I didn't hear an apology, folks. I heard him turning it around, and I heard a spin job. Folks, the hour is too late for us to be playing games with this thing. If we mess up, we have to confess it. Now, if God shows me, you know, in the coming days that I'm taking this too far, and by the way, I want to be done with this, folks. I don't want to deal with it anymore. The reason that I'm doing this is because some of you are saying, Nathan, I heard what he said, and I don't, where's the problem? Where's the New Age words? So there is a lack of education amongst some of the listeners out there to understand and pinpoint and identify New Age teaching and doctrine. The New Age teaching is an attempt by Satan to replicate a relationship with God. But it's very sly because it uses Christian terminologies. In the New Age, Jesus exists. Salvation exists. God exists. Heaven exists. The Bible exists. All that is part of the New Age. But they've done a spin on it, because God, to the New Age, is a spirit who at one time was a normal human or a normal being. And this person, who is now God, reincarnated after he died, and his life got better, and then he reincarnated again, and he started figuring out the secrets of the universe, and he kept ascending in his incarnations to the point where he was at a level 5, a level 6, and he no longer needed a body. And then he became a level 7, a level 8. And by the way, folks, I need to mention that there are levels of ascension in the New Age. And they call it ascending through the 13 dimensions of consciousness. You ascend And each dimension is a higher level of consciousness. And when a person rises to higher levels of consciousness, they also need to have the right frequencies and the right harmonics. In order for them to move up during their respective life, they figured out the resonance. They figured out the harmony of sound. This is what they believe. So sound, frequency, resonance is all a part of the package of the New Age. They also believe that they have light inside of them. There is energy inside of them because they believe that they're God. Inside of you is a God. Inside of you is an I am. And when God, our God, in the Bible says, I am, tell him I am sent you, the New Age interprets that as meaning that he, the I am in the Bible, is the I am that all of us want to attain to. And he figured it out. So for us, we have a God over us, Heavenly Father, who figured it out, and he discovered the consciousness inside of him. He discovered the light that's inside of him and the resonance and the harmony and the frequency and all that. And he moved up in levels to the point where he became the creator. He became the cosmic entity over our universe. So they consider Yahweh, Elohim, our God, as just one who ascended. And these ascension levels can be looked at as the 13th dimension, the 13th ascensions, the 13th matrix. But it's 13, ladies and gentlemen, where the New Agers believe humans ascend to. And as they move up higher and higher, it actually gets pretty silly. To the point where in level 7, 8, 9, 10, the ascended masters become a planet. And then they become a star or a sun. And then they become a cosmic logos, is what they call it. To the point where they believe that our God, Heavenly Father, is just a cosmic logos who is a cosmic entity, consciousness over our universe, or the universe that we exist in. And they also believe that the universes are holograms. They are holograms of diamonds and projections. It gets silly and goofy, but the buzzwords of the New Age, ladies and gentlemen, have resonance, have sound. Our bodies vibrate. Our bodies are out of tune. And if you read a New Age book or go to a New Age website to research this, folks, it's crazy stuff. But they believe that the different organs within us can become out of tune. So they need to be tuned, our organs. And they say that the pineal gland is the method to consciousness, to meditation. The pineal gland, the third eye. So when Ted uses the terms that I'm describing right now, ladies and gentlemen, he is using all the buzzwords of the New Age. And I have to ask this question. If the New Age tells us that the Ascended Masters eventually become a cosmic logos, a cosmic entity over their own universe at level 13, and they exist in the 13th dimension, why does Ted insist on saying that God dwells in the 13th dimension? So it makes me wonder, does Ted believe that our God is just an Ascended Master? Ted, if you're listening, this is an honest question. Do you believe that? Because you keep bringing it up. So ladies and gentlemen, this is not a trivial thing, as Dave Hodges said, or a petty thing, like Ted said. It's not petty, ladies and gentlemen. This is a different gospel. It's a different gospel, and it's wrong. And when I heard him sharing these things, my discernment shot through the roof. My dash warning lights started beeping and going off. And in my efforts to try to share my concerns with what I'm telling you right now, unfortunately, I have become the castaway, and that's where it is now. I am hoping that we can resolve this, and, you know, I love you guys and others involved. I'm not mad at anyone, ladies and gentlemen, but I am concerned, and I have to do my duty, my calling, to point this out, because God is going to hold me accountable. I did not want listeners who listen to Watchman's Cry sermons, and if you're out there, you know who you are, I didn't want you listening to that, because it's wrong. And I was asked, ladies and gentlemen, I was asked to be the keynote speaker at the night service to preach a revival sermon with an altar call. And I was also asked to do Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, powerful worship like I did at the Days of All. What happened at the Days of All in September was a very special event. Those of you that were there, you know it was. It was incredible. God showed up. We had an altar call with weeping and repentance, healing. It was beautiful. And Benjamin Baruch was there with me with Michael Snyder, and we had church. And so the event organizers saw and witnessed that service, and they said, Nathan, we want you to take that, and we want you to be the speaker and take that. So in order to have an atmosphere that is spirit-filled and powerful to the point where people want to repent because the anointing is in the room, the atmosphere must be, it's very important that everyone's on the same page spiritually and theologically. You can't have a mixture of New Age with the Holy Spirit, because then the Holy Spirit won't show up. It'll quench. Folks, I knew all this. When I heard the New Age stuff, that's what went through my mind. If that stuff is in Dallas, when I get up there and do worship, it's going to kill the atmosphere, and it's going to rob what I need for the anointing to show up to convict the souls that are there and heal and draw people. It's going to kill it. One container of leaven will kill the entire loaf of bread, ladies and gentlemen. I wish that I could have just said, you know what, I'm resigning and I'm not going to show up. But then I didn't want the New Age stuff also showing up there. So that's why I had to take it to this level. It's unfortunate. I didn't want to, ladies and gentlemen. I find no gain in this. There's no personal gain. This is at a great expense. There are many colleagues that are, at the moment, they probably don't want to ever talk to me again. They probably don't want to have anything to do with me again. If that's the case, that's sad. That's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't maintain itself that way. I hope there can be resolution and resolve. But at the moment, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot tolerate improprieties as far as the gospel. We can't. And I can't stand back or sit back and just watch it happen. I fear God too much. God has made it very clear over the last few years of Watchman's Cry Ministry that I have a great responsibility. And if I hurt any of the listening audience, God considers them his children. He has showed me visions and prophetic dreams of the listening audience. And I have seen them in various, over the years, various prophetic dreams where God reminds me, hey, Nathan, these are my children. And sometimes he shows me a field with a bunch of sheep that need tending, that need to be fed. Sometimes he shows me little children playing in a playground that need to be watched and taken care of. He has showed me babies in a nursery that need to be fed. They need milk. He has showed me the responsibility in a variety of ways, but God has made it very clear. Nathan, you do not hurt my sheep or my children. Don't do it. God made it clear, folks. He showed me that if I blow it, I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to have to pay the price. He's going to be mad. He's Papa, and don't make him mad. Don't disappoint me, Nathan. He's been very clear about it. So that's why I'm doing this at the risk, at the cost, at the expense of what the others don't want to see and what it's become. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what's going on. Now, before I'm done, I want to just share what Ted shared on the program when he talked about the blood. And when he talked about the blood on November the 20th, he also, I believe there was a rebroadcast of it, he shared theology that was very disturbing. He said that Jesus is a clone of God the Father, and he also said that Adam is a clone of Jesus, thereby making Adam God. But he said it, folks.
And what's interesting about this is, I'm going to repeat this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, he's God's clone. God and Jesus are basically clones, as Adam was a clone. I've already read you that, the exact representation in the book of Hebrews.
Did you hear that, folks? Jesus is a clone of God the Father. Any eyebrows getting raised yet? And then he said something else that was very disturbing. And this basically was why I had no choice. He said that Jesus was not born from a normal egg from Mary. He said that God put an embryo inside of Mary. He said it, folks. In fact, listen to this.
I don't want to step on too many toes here, particularly if there's Catholics running around, because this is not what they believe. There was no way that Mary gave an egg and God used sperm to create Jesus Christ as an embryo and placed in her. That did not happen. Okay, God's embryo that he put inside of Mary was the exact representation of God Almighty. Hebrews says that right here. It wasn't 50% the DNA of Mary. Did not happen. Could not have happened.
What? Did you folks catch that? Ladies and gentlemen, is there confusion? Nathan, what's the problem? I'm going to play this for you and then I'm going to explain it using the Bible. And listen to this again.
Believe there was no way that Mary gave an egg and God used sperm to create Jesus Christ as an embryo and placed in her. That did not happen. Okay. God's embryo that he put inside of Mary was the exact representation of God Almighty. Hebrews says that right here. It wasn't 50% the DNA of Mary. Did not happen. Could not have happened.
Okay. He just said the seed did not come from Mary. In order to back up what he just said, let's look at the significance of this, ladies and gentlemen. And if we go back all the way to the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve fail, God said to the serpent, Genesis 3:14, Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Verse 15, Genesis 3:15, folks. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Her seed. God prophesied that Jesus would come from the seed of woman. And Jesus had to come from the seed of a woman to be a human, to bear up our struggles, our temptations. He had to be all man and all God at the same time. And the only way that could happen was he had to be born of woman. Now, there is also something else that is very significant about this denial, ladies and gentlemen. But first, let me give support that she conceived by the egg that she possessed. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, there's a reference of when Jesus was born. In verse 2:20, it says, the shepherds returned glorifying God, glorifying and praising God for all of the things they had seen and heard and was told to them. And then in verse 2:21, it talks about Jesus' circumcision. Now, if you're taking notes, ladies and gentlemen, and if you have actually wondered about this, if you haven't been sure, and by the way, I'm saying seed, and when I say seed, I'm talking about her egg. In Luke 2:21, it says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Before he was conceived, ladies and gentlemen. Conception means that egg and sperm met together. That means that it was her egg. And God did something. The Holy Ghost came upon her and somehow fertilized her egg miraculously. I don't know how he did it. I don't know the science behind it. But it was her egg because conception took place in her womb. It says right here, Luke 2:21, conception. God did not somehow take an embryo and implant it in her like she was a surrogate. Because that is, again, the New Age type of thinking of an alien implantation. That's New Age, ladies and gentlemen. And it bypasses that Jesus had to be human. When Satan was tempting Jesus and he said, if you're God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus did not answer as he was God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He admitted that he was a man. He was the son of man. And in order to be the son of man and the second Adam, he had to be born of a human, meaning he came from the egg of Mary.
There was no way that Mary gave an egg and God used sperm to create Jesus Christ as an embryo and placed in her. That did not happen. Okay, God's embryo that he put inside of Mary was the exact representation of God Almighty. Hebrews says that right here. It wasn't 50% the DNA of Mary. Did not happen. Could not have happened.
So what does this mean, ladies and gentlemen? It is denying that Jesus was made out of the flesh of man. Now think about that, folks. It means that Jesus did not come in the flesh of man. Well, why does that matter, Nathan? Here's why. Now, if you have your Bibles and if you're taking notes, turn to this passage. 1 John 4, verse 2. Well, let me go back. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. This is how you know if it's of God, ladies and gentlemen. If what you are hearing is the Spirit of God. Here's the test, right here. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ted said that Jesus did not come from the seed of Mary, from her egg. That is saying, that is denying that Jesus came in the flesh through the line of men. If Jesus was not born through the seed of man, he could not have died for us because then he wouldn't be the son of man. He would not be part man, part God. He would not have been qualified if he was not able to taste the humanity part of the equation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I can't stomach anymore. I had a few more that this is my testimony. And I didn't want to take this testimony public. It was private at first. I spoke to the promoters about all of this and I was dismissed. At first, I wasn't believed, and then I was told, Nathan, you just need to wait a while. Just wait. Let me think about it. And at the time, we were approaching the Christmas holidays, and I knew, ladies and gentlemen, because, by the way, I can hear the Holy Spirit, that people would be getting together on the Christmas holidays and deciding to buy tickets to come see Nathan. And I knew that if I wasn't going to be there, I needed to resign so that you would not buy a ticket if you were going to go to hear me. So the reason that I came forward so quickly is because I didn't want you to buy a ticket if you wanted to go and hear me, because I knew I wasn't going to be there. I wanted to prevent that from happening. So that's why on the 23rd, on Wednesday, I sent out my notice of resignation, and I let everybody know. Now, I told the promoters 2 days previous I was going to do it, and then I made it public on Wednesday, and now here we are. So, ladies and gentlemen, I presented to the church, as the Bible tells us. They say you go to the source first. You go to the person that you are having the problem with first. If they don't listen, you take witnesses. If they don't listen, take it to the church. And I did that. I called Ted on the phone, and he hung up on me. He said, I'm not going to apologize, and I don't even know you. But by the way, I didn't know he didn't know who I was. That was interesting. Because the Bible says, know those who labor among you. And wow, I was going to have him, and I didn't even know who he was. So here I am, ladies and gentlemen, opening my heart. It's open. It's laid bare. I understand the great risk. I understand that in the eyes of some, I am going to be blackballed. I understand that. But for the purity of the gospel of Jesus, I had to stand up. And I had to be the first one out of the boat and raise my hand and say, this can't happen. And regarding the blow that it's going to do to the ministry, I guess that's going to have to be in God's hands. I can't worry about it. I was excited to go to Dallas. I have been working on a book. It was going to be my reveal to the world. I'm working on several books, actually, on judgment and on some of the things that are coming to America. And I'm working on another one about the second coming and the rapture, to explain the rapture. And I was going to reveal that at the conference. And I'm sure from the monetary point of view, it would have been helpful to the ministry. But you know what, folks? It's not about that, is it? It's not about that. It's about the truth. So here we are. You hurt my side, and now I'm just going to place it in God's hands. If you would, ladies and gentlemen, if you support my position, please let me know. And if you still believe in Watchman's Cry, please let us know. Let us know that you're praying for us. Let us know, for those of you that can appreciate this very sure step that my family and I took, let us know. So our email address is watchman@watchmanscry.com, or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and send us a note and tell us you're praying for us. And also, folks, pray for all the other people involved. Pray for the promoters. Pray for the other names that are there. I don't know what's going to come out of this. I really don't. But I had to share this. Now, part of the deciding factor that helped us decide to do this were God spoke to Donna and myself on just a few days after the Friday show that you just heard. So it was December 20th, I believe. And I was awakened and stirred out of sleep with a prophetic dream that woke me up because it was disturbing. And get this, folks, my wife was stirred and awakened out of a prophetic dream that woke her up. And this happened at the same time. We both woke up with different prophetic dreams. And she didn't tell me when she woke up because it was still dark. And we went back to sleep, both of us. But the next morning, I told her, and then she told me, and I said, no way. And it happened at the same time. And I just want to share with you these two dreams. And then I had a third one, and I'll share that one in the future. But my wife's was, she was at someone's property. It wasn't our house, but we raise sheep. Some of you may know this. And in her dream, three of our sheep were at someone else's house. And in the dream, they were laying on the ground, and they were bleeding. They had been wounded. They were cut up. There was blood all over them. And it looked like they were struggling to survive. They were dying. And my wife saw them, Donna saw them, laying in a field. And she was startled and saddened because our sheep were dying. And then a lady came out of this house, and she didn't know whose house it was, but it was someone else's house. So our sheep were being stored at someone else's house. And this lady came out and started yelling at her and saying, your dog did it. Now, we have a sheepdog, a Great Pyrenees, and Great Pyrenees are very gentle. They're bred for herding and protecting sheep. In my wife's dream, our sheepdog was also wounded, and one of its eyes was blinded. It was cut out, bleeding. And the lady in the dream yelled at Donna and said, your sheep are all dying, and your dog's the one that did it. And Donna told her, my dog would not do that. Our dog loves our sheep. But that's what stirred her up, and it was upsetting to her because she was wondering if our dog was okay, and she was wondering if it was a literal dream and if she had to go check on it. if something had happened that she hurt her eyes. So that's the one that she had. Now, right off the bat, folks, in this dream, our sheep were at someone else's house, under someone else's property, out of our control, and they got wounded. And then it was blamed on our sheepdog. And in this dream, I asked a few people about it, and they said, Nathan, you're the sheepdog. You're the one shepherding, and you're supposed to be protecting your sheep, but they got wounded, and then you got wounded too. One of your eyes, you couldn't see, because your sheep were at someone else's house, you couldn't see. And then it was blamed on you. So just think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the dream that I had was also disturbing, and I see that this thing could have several layers to it, and I have to share this, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't want it to be on my shoulders and on my hands. Those of you who hear this dream, please consider it if you're going to go to the conference. But this is what it was. I was looking at a criminal, and I was an officer of the law. And in this dream, I had my gun pointed. I was about 50 feet away from this criminal, and I was telling him to freeze and put his hands up. And there was another officer of the law. I couldn't see their face. They were standing to my right, and they had a rifle pointed at this criminal. But I told this criminal to put his hands up, and he started giggling like the Riddler. You know the Riddler in Batman? He started giggling with a high cackle. And by the way, the criminal was standing under a bridge, you know, on a bridge with pillars, and it's an underpass where you can drive under. So there's pillars on each side of the road. There were several pillars. I believe there was probably 10 to 12 pillars. But he was standing under this bridge toward the end of it on the open end where I was. I was out in the open. So he was standing by the open end of the bridge. And I told him to put up his hands, and he started cackling like the Riddler. And then he turned around, and there was a van behind him. And he opened the back doors of the van, and he pulled out a wooden crate. And the wooden crate was about 6 feet tall, about 6 feet wide. And he set it in front of him so I couldn't see him anymore. He set the crate between me and him, and then the van was behind him, and he started just cackling when he set the crate down, and he got in the van and took off. So my gun then pointed to this crate, and I didn't know what was in it. And I pointed to the crate for about 1 or 2 seconds, and then the bridge exploded. It was over everything. It was far enough away that it didn't hurt me, but it exploded, and it came crashing down. And when it exploded, I heard the words, "The pillars are wired for detonation." The pillars of the bridge have detonation. They're wired for detonation on them. And then the dream was over, and that woke me up. It stirred me awake. So, of course, I took it to God, and I asked several people what it meant. I asked my wife what it meant. And what I got out of it, folks, and there could be several layers to it, is that the enemy, Satan, the Riddler, the Joker, because the guy, he laughed kind of like the Riddler, but it could have been like the Joker too, but it was a cackle, had a snare, a trap, under the bridge, and he laid it under the bridge, and I was trying to stop him. I had my gun on him, and I told him to stop what he was doing. And he laughed at me, and then he set a crate with something mysterious in it. By the way, the crate didn't explode, but the crate was a mysterious diversion of deception. And then the bridge came down. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I took it to God. We had it. There were Holy Spirit dreams, and I believe that the enemy has laid a snare. Now, I am not saying it's a literal dream. You know, the bridge exploded because the pillars were wired for detonation. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I have no idea, but that's what I dreamt, ladies and gentlemen. And by now, if you've been a regular listener, you know that the glimpses and visions that God gives me as his servant have traction. They have validity. They don't fall to the ground, folks. There have been too many already that have come to pass. Some are in motion right now. So you take that up with the Lord. Ask him what it means. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop. I hope that the spirit of what I'm trying to accomplish here gets communicated because, folks, this thing is a mess right now. I'll just say it. It's a mess. So please pray for those involved, but I can't be a part of that. For the sake of the gospel, I cannot in good conscience. So, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the time for you to listen to this. Please share this. If you know someone that wonders why, please share it. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Lord on my side. I have no doubt that this is the right thing to do, ladies and gentlemen. I have no doubt. I have the witness of the Lord. I do plan when winter gets out of the way, as spring and summer come, I plan to follow the leading of the Lord, and I'm going to have my own revival services. Watchman's Cry is going to have revival services. So there are things happening here at Watchman's Cry. This other event that I had to pull out is not the only event that Nathan Liao can go to. So there will be others, ladies and gentlemen. So if you still believe in this ministry after all of this, Because I know that we're going to take a blow and a few hits. I know we are. But if you believe in what we're doing and the message that I have to share, the pure, unadulterated gospel and the message of repentance, leaving out the leaven, you believe in what we're doing, folks, show us with your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. By the way, if you're a pastor of a church and you would like to have a revival service, get in touch with us and we'll see what our schedule can hold and we'll see what is possible maybe in the spring or the summer. And we can go from there. So anyway, we want to leave it open to the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. We want to see repentance. We want to see the worship of God. We want to see God-led solemn assemblies and days of all services. That's what I want, folks. I want to see God move. And I also want to stop the deception. If I can play a role in stopping deception, I'm going to do it, no matter what the cost. So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.